Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. I put you up in the league. You work your tail off there, and you have everybody in town and in the state on your show, it seems like.
Oh, stop it. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Boy, it's sort of like trying to keep up with all this, the stuff going on in the election, the governor's race, the debate, the Economic Club Forum that I was involved with last week, and I'm still not sure voters know a ton lot more than they did before all these events.
All right. Well, we have lots to talk about. I wanted to get your take on the debate between Virge Bonnero and Rick Snyder. I watched that, and the first time I watched it, I thought, boy, there's 1 hour I'll never get back. And then I watched it a second time, and it just kind of reiterated what I already knew. What did you take away from watching that program?
I think it reiterated what you just said here and some of your other listeners you've been talking to about it. I don't think it really changed anybody's mind. I think Virge Bonnero was hoping for a knockout, which didn't happen. I think that Snyder was looking not to stumble, which he didn't do. And I don't think anyone actually did much to further their cause as far as picking up additional votes. But, again, debates are something we in the media love to see, have, and we like to see them take place, to get in more questions. But the format, even the Economic Club Forum that I co-moderated last week, the 2 days before the actual televised debate that took place, the format is not a freewheeling conversation. It's so regimented in what you say, how much time you have, that it's not quite an open debate, which I still would love to see, but it won't happen.
Does Virge Bonnero have a chance at all in winning this election?
Well, I know everyone would say that the only vote that counts is the one on the actual election day, but all the polls show he's down 20, 30 points, depending on which poll you're looking at here. It's uphill, unless there's some October surprise here still to come. I think when he brought up the conversation of Decira, the company in which Snyder had started, which has a sales office in China, as it turns out, unless there's some other blockbuster out there, it's just, boy, it's going to be a tough uphill challenge.
You know what I find interesting about China? There are some folks who think that it's a dirty word, but there are others that you and I talk to who think, you know what, they are a global competitor, and we better find out what the rules are and learn how to play the game, or they're going to keep kicking our butt when it comes to manufacturing and education.
Well, and prudent companies, educational institutions, and leaders have gone over there. I mean, the fact is, it is the world's most populous country. It is one of the fastest-growing economies. I did a television special for CBS called Building Bridges from the Great Lakes to the Great Wall. I've also traveled there a couple times and written extensively about business and education, cultural tie-ins between Michigan and other states. I mean, it is a place where people from China, leaders from there, have money and investments that are making in other places, other states here, and they're doing a little bit in Michigan, not as much as some would like to see, but there's tons of potential out of China, and it's foolhardy to shoot yourself in the foot talking about the negatives of doing business there and comparing it to what happened with Japan 20 years ago. The prudent thing is the state is in desperate need of jobs and investment, and the truth of the matter is China offers some relief. Not that they're going to save Michigan, they won't, but they have money and they're looking for investments, and China is going to be a force. If nothing else, we have learned from China. Their history is long. Ours in this country is a couple hundred years. They go back thousands of years, and they want to get in the auto industry in particular. They will be in it in this country at some point.
Carol, in reading some of your articles about China, I just get the sense that you see them, that they could be, as opposed to an adversary, more of a partner.
Well, and I know there's human rights issues in that country. I know there's trade and monetary issues that we have. And I know I talk to people like Mark Gaffney and others, union leaders, who raise legitimate points. And the fact is that they don't play fair. But the fact is we don't have to necessarily like and love all the people we're doing business with. The fact is it's business. They are a communist country, but their very bit is capitalistic, as the United States and other countries. It's an unusual mixture of how things go over there. And I've been there several times, and I'm always amazed. They love Michigan. They love the auto industry. You mentioned Detroit, and their eyes just light up. I mean, we have so much between our research and development and our universities and other things here that is the envy of the world. And when I'm in China, that's what people want to hear about. They love America. So So rather than view it as a big enemy and the boogeyman that's going to bring down Michigan, it's something that could help Michigan's prospects. But this talk of this campaign and the governor's race this time and last time, it's going to hurt the state. It is hurting the state. And I believe if Snyder is successful, he's shown he knows about China. He would be pragmatic. If Virge Bernero, something happened and he wins, I asked about that as well at the Economic Club forum that I moderated, and he took a more pragmatic look, again, mentioning the human rights issues and other things. But again, I don't know that we have to love up everyone we're doing trading with at this stage of the game, other countries.
Well, I also think that if you end up partnering with these folks, in this instance China, it certainly puts you in a more favorable position to have conversations about issues like that.
Well, and they take a very long view of how they set up relations. I know that's one of the things I found so starkly interesting. Here in this country, we're used to going and you do a deal, you shake a hand, you move on. There, you go, you have meetings, you have more meetings, and they just, again, everything is much more, it moves at a slower snail pace compared to things in this country. So doing business is a time investment kind of a form. I know that Bob Ficano, the Wayne County executive, has been one of the more aggressive of reaching out. I know Brooks Patterson out in Oakland County has had his team over there reaching out, and the state hasn't been doing much. I know this has been a political, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a problem for Granholm and the unions because of all that. She has not been, which is ironic because I know in talking to her, she understands it. In fact, her daughter was taking Mandarin at U of M, was going to be going over there as part of a training thing, I believe. But in any case, the fact is that China is going to be a force, and it's to Michigan's advantage to figure out how to make it work for Michigan.
Well, speaking of L. Brooks Patterson, the Oakland County executive, he kind of enlightened us with some news. It looks like that the Ilitches are going to purchase the Detroit Pistons. I asked him if he was worried about that, and he said, in the short term, no. In the long term, it's probably a deal that's going to happen. But what was interesting, Carol, is he told me that what looked like was going to happen is that not only would the Pistons stay there should the Ilitches purchase the Pistons, but the Red Wings might also go out to the Palace and play there while a new stadium is built downtown, which brings me back to you. L. Brooks said it's going to be very challenging to find financing for a new stadium, and you had talked with Bernero and Snyder about that topic.
Right. In fact, I asked that question at the Detroit Economic Club forum last week where they stood on the issue of public financing for the arena. This is another one of those loss leader type of things for communities to hold on to teams to keep them from moving. And both Snyder and Bernero basically took the tact of, well, we'd have to do further analysis of it before automatically doing it.
No comment.
Yeah, really. Well, here's the thing, though, too. Even if the Ilitches decide if they're successful in their acquisition of the team and getting public financing in this environment will be tough. I mean, there's other ways to finance it, but it's not something that would happen in a day or a week. I mean, it would take years to get the financing to actually build it. So it is not a slam dunk of a deal. I mean, they're talking with it, but we've seen from watching professional sports, watching other teams and acquisitions, someone announces they're having conversations, doesn't guarantee it ends in a positive way. But I know that the Ilitches, with having the three teams, having the entertainment dynasty they've already have going with the Fox, having DTE and some of the other things would give them they would have a lock on the market as far as all this goes. And I know they would like to see that happen. But I don't think that anybody out in Oakland County would be thrilled to have the Palace kind of sit dormant like the Silver Dome has all the many decades here now.
All right, Carol, before I let you go, two more things. One, I'm going to get you back on the program, and I want to talk about China. I want you to tell us what you saw and what it's like and what we need to do to partner more with them beyond taking the time to create those relationships and trust that the Chinese want when you do business with them. So I will call you on that. Anything else new and newsy? What are we going to see on Michigan Matters this weekend?
Well, you know, the other thing we're going to be talking about is something that's gotten scant attention in the media, that being the ConCon, talk of the Constitutional Convention, which goes before Michigan voters every 16 years. It's on the ballot this November, so I will have Solanusis and person on the other side, Dennis, his last name's escaping me here, talking about the pros and cons of that. Also have Daniel Okrent from Time Magazine, who is a Detroiter who wrote the first piece as part of the Time Epic Year Look at Detroit and what was going on in Detroit, the city, and other things in the region and state, actually. So he'll be on the show as well. So we'll be talking about that.
All right, Carol, thanks so much. Folks, I encourage you to go Google Carol Kane. Her pieces are in the Detroit Free Press every week. And, Carol, we'll talk to you soon.
Tony, you take care.